Today we have in the first reading chapter 4 of Genesis. In other words, we finished the first three chapters, which are about origins. Now, a whole series of insights, traditions from the remote past, and mystical graces were given an understanding of the spread of sin. This will go on until actually chapter 12. And you'll notice that after every sin, there's a remedy given. There with Adam and Eve, God clothed them and promised them that there would be one born of woman, her seed, who would ultimately triumph over the serpent. Now we have the first instance of murder. And it's a discourse about the human heart. It's very subtle. It's the kind of thing you have to read over, pray about a lot to get it. But it's about the heart and that hidden source of so much. Man knew his wife, Eve, which is the verb yada. See, yada always means some sort of contact. And one way is to describe the relationship between husband and wife by saying that here, Adam, the man, Adam, knew his wife, Eve. And I have gained a man, Cain. I have acquired, I have gained a man with the help of the Lord and his brother Abel. Now, Abel becomes the keeper of sheep, and Cain became a tiller of the soil. Now notice this. This is kind of very subtle. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil. And Abel, for his part, bought the choicest of the firstlings of his flock. Very subtle, isn't that? Cain brought whatever. And Abel brought the best. You get some idea already of his heart, how his heart is like with the Lord, given over to the Lord. So the Lord paid heed to Abel and his offering, but to Cain and his offering, he paid no heed. Cain was much distressed, and his face fell. Are you watching this heart? His heart wasn't in the sacrifice. And now he's jealous. And his face fell. Not much as a powerful Hebrew phrase, you know. His face fell. Now the Lord warns Cain. Why are you distressed? And why is your face falling? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that if you do well, if you do what is good, you see? Shed. One word. Uplifting. Raising. It's also the word for lifting off. It's the word for, one of the words for sin is to lift off sin. If you do well, shed. And all those meanings are there. There's forgiveness. There's uplifting. There's, you see, it's all there. Imitative, if you do well, from the depth of your heart. And you see, this is again looking at the mystery of the heart. But imlotative, if you don't do well, sin crouches at the door. Its urge is towards you. Yet you can be its master. look out, Cain. Your heart isn't totally given over to the Lord. So you're very vulnerable. You're very vulnerable. It starts when he brings in his stuff. And he sees the Lord accept Abel's sacrifice. Abel took the very best. You see where his heart is. You see, Cain needed something. You see. And God himself warns him. Why are you distressed? Why is your face fallen? Imitative, shed. If you do well, there's uplifting. You can uplift your face. You can walk around straight up. And also under that, there's forgiveness. Lift it off. A sin is lifted off. It's a promise. You know, do well. From the depth of your heart. You see how this man is starting to trace evil. This tradition in Genesis. We have fundamental and radical disobedience to God. Total lack of trust. I will seize this and then I will declare what is good and evil. And now the fruit, their son Cain, whose whole heart is not given over to the Lord. Cain said to his brother Abel, In the Hebrew text, there's a whole bunch of words fell out, been out for thousands of years. But from some of the old translations, let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain killed his brother. And then God says, you see, therefore you shall be more cursed than the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Remember, he's the one who tills the soil. The very soil will start to cry out against you because it had to take in your brother's blood. Now, the other side of Cain. My punishment is too great to bear. Since you have banished me this day from the soil, and I must avoid your presence and become a restless wanderer. But you notice, it's always going to happen to me. Not a word of repentance. Not a word of, oh God, forgive me. You see. If I wander around and they find me, they'll kill me. This is a rough, tough civilization. Then as now. The Lord said to him, I promise if anyone kills Cain, sevenfold vengeance shall be taken from him. And the Lord put a mark on Cain. In literature, this gets to be the mark of Cain, this curse. It's the opposite. The Lord put a mark on Cain so that anyone who met him would not kill him. It was a protection. The mercy of God again. Always the mercy. So after this other sin, there's still a remedy. And we'll see that all the way through. You know, we'll skip a few and then we have this calamity and Noah. The remedy to a total destruction of the whole darn world. And then again, there's sin. And then finally, the top sin, in a way. The organized attempt to do without God, the Tower of Babel. And then, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. God, you just scattered the whole human race. Aren't you going to do anything? And God said to Abram, and that's the solution. I will pick a people, and I will work their salvation in and through these people. And that's the beginning of, in one sense, sacred history right there. But today the call is, look at your heart. You can't change it down in those depths. You can forget that. but you can beg God to do it and allow him to do it when he begins to act.